Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was a little kid, and I mean a little kid, I had my favorite pillow that I would take with me wherever I would go. Walking throughout the house, I would drag the pillow behind me. Going to Grandma and Grandpa's house, I had to bring the pillow. Even if we were going on a quick drive or ride somewhere, I made sure that my favorite pillow was with me. But there was one place that I was not allowed to take my pillow. That was church. Even though I would throw my temper tantrums, my parents simply would not allow it. Now, I think all of us, when we were young kids, we had our favorite toy or gadget, pillow or blanket, whatever it was that we held on to so dearly, and we just wouldn't let it go. As Christians, do we hold on to Christ in such a manner? Holding on to Him that we refuse to let Him go. That's what Paul tells us to do this morning. And as we look to holding on to Christ, you will see exactly what all of this means. First of all, Paul says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." As we hold on to Christ, that means we need to let go of ourselves. That's what Paul highlights here. That all the things that he used to hold on to about himself and brag about, he now considers them to be rubbish, like filth or garbage. But what exactly were those things that Paul held on to about himself and bragged about? Well, right before this, Paul talked about how he used to brag about how he was circumcised on the eighth day, which every Jewish boy would go through. How he came from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two tribes of Israel that didn't completely turn away from God and were brought back from exile. He bragged about how he was a Pharisee, a religious leader. He bragged about how, when it came to obeying the law, he was faultless and did nothing wrong. And he bragged about his great zeal for God. That when he heard these teachings about Jesus and thought that they went against God and his teachings, he went above and beyond by hunting down these Christians and persecuting them, throwing them into prison and having them be killed. And so in Paul's mind, he thought that he had achieved a righteousness all on his own. But then one day, both literally and spiritually, God knocked Paul off of his high horse. From heaven, Jesus appeared to Paul and he asked Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And from that day on, Paul was brought to faith and he held on to Jesus. He no longer held on to the things about himself and bragged about what he did, because when it came to salvation, Paul brought nothing to the table. Paul couldn't do anything to save himself. But rather, he held on to Christ and the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. As we hold on to Christ, we are to let ourselves go. But do we do that? Are there things that we can hold on to about ourselves and brag about? Then maybe like Paul, we can think, well, I was baptized as an infant. I come from the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. I come from a long line of believers. My parents and grandparents and great-grandparents all believed in Jesus. I live my life for God. And I even go above and beyond what God requires of me. Now understand what I am and am not saying here. I am not saying that baptism doesn't save you. Of course it does. I am not saying that it's wrong that you belong to this synod and come from a long line of believers. And certainly I am not saying that it's wrong for you to do what God wants. And even if you're so zealous, you go above and beyond that. But what I am saying is that when it comes to salvation, what do we bring to the table? Nothing at all. All of these things that we may take hold of about ourselves and brag about, God can look at all of those things and view them as being rubbish. Even the good that we do, it's contaminated with sin. God can see the times when we do good, but it wasn't done out of love for Him. It was done out of love for ourselves. God can see all of those times that we really haven't been zealous for Him and going above and beyond what He wants. But rather, we have gone above and beyond to satisfy our own sinful desires. So when it comes to salvation, we bring nothing to the table. But as we hold on to Christ, we let go of ourselves and find righteousness through faith. That's what God looks at. It is faith that saves us. And this faith that we have, it's not from our own. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so if we will boast in anything, let us do what Scripture says. That let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. For as we hold on to Christ, we hold on to the righteousness that is ours through faith in Him, and we hold on to Christ in every aspect of our lives. And that's the next thing that Paul mentions. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Holding on to Christ has its blessings and benefits for us. The main one that Paul mentions is sharing in the power of Christ's resurrection that he won for us. But did you notice the other thing that Paul rejoiced to share in as he held on to Christ? He mentions the sufferings of Christ. And when he's talking about the sufferings of Christ, Paul is really not talking about sufferings in general. Both believers and even unbelievers have sufferings, and that's because of sin. But here when he's talking about the sufferings of Christ, he's talking about the sufferings that Christ endured for us. Christ was hated by the spiritual leaders of his day. His own family, his own brothers, mocked him because they didn't believe in him. And those who did believe in him, many of them deserted him. Even two of his closest followers, Peter and Judas. Peter denied knowing him 3 times. And Judas betrayed Jesus to death for 30 pieces of silver. In the final hours of his life, in the grand scheme of things, Jesus was alone and no one was there for him. Those are the sufferings that Christ endured. And so as we hold on to Christ, we are to hold on to his sufferings and endure them. But do we? The idea of suffering for Christ, we don't view that as a blessing or a benefit to us. It's one of those things that we would rather want to let go. And how does that show in your life? Jesus said that the world will hate us because of him. We will be mocked. But instead of enduring that hatred and mockery from the world and from maybe our own family, we may let go of Christ just for a short while so that the world and our family may praise us and accept us. We are to endure being deserted because of what we believe. But maybe we let go of Christ because we want to take hold of those people and don't want to lose them. Even though Jesus said, whoever loves his own father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Like Peter, we can deny Jesus and his teachings. And when people say to you, is it really true that you believe this? We may say, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't want to talk about it. Or like Judas, we can even betray Christ. Not in the sense that we hand him over to death for 30 pieces of silver. But think of how selfish and hypocritical we can be. That we may only hold on to Christ when it benefits us. But when it comes to suffering for him, we can easily let him go. That's betraying Christ. And we can do that either because of our greed, we can do it to try to fit in with the world, or we may do it to satisfy our own sinful desires. Since we don't perfectly hold on to Christ, and we can so easily let him go, what reason is there for God to hold on to us? There is none. But listen again to what Paul says. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As we hold on to Christ, we remember that Christ takes hold of us. From all eternity, he took hold of us. Even when mankind fell into sin and separate ourselves from God, God did not let us go. But he promised us a Savior. And that Savior came when Jesus took hold of our humanity, humbling himself by coming down from heaven to win salvation for us. He took hold of God and his commandments and obeyed them perfectly for us. He took hold of our sufferings, enduring hatred, mockery, desertion, denial, and betrayal. But those weren't the only sufferings that he took hold of. He also took hold of the eternal sufferings of hell. And he let go of his life, dying on the cross to take away our sins. But 3 days later, he took hold of his life again, guaranteeing our justification by rising from the dead. And he ascended to heaven and is seated at God's right hand, taking hold of his divine power once again in order to help us and to bring us home to heaven. That's why Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Although Paul had righteousness, salvation, and eternal life through faith in Christ, he had not yet received those things in the fullest measure because he wasn't in heaven yet. And so he pressed on, fighting the good fight of faith, fighting against temptation, and striving to live the life that God called him to do, so that possibly he could win the prize of heaven, not in the sense that he earned it, but in the sense that he would freely receive it from God, who called him heavenward in Christ Jesus. As we hold on to Christ, we hold on to Christ who takes hold of us. We also press on, fighting the good fight of faith, fighting against temptation, and striving to live a life that is pleasing to God. But we will still fail. But when we can feel like complete failures, when it may feel like God has let go of us, remember that Christ is constantly holding on to us. He has promised that nothing will ever let him let go of you. So as we hold on to Christ in repentance for our sins, Christ takes hold of us with his forgiveness. As we hold on to Christ in our weaknesses, Christ takes hold of us in his power. As we hold on to Christ in our doubts, Christ takes hold of us with his assurance. As we hold on to Christ in our sufferings, Christ holds on to us with his comfort. And as we hold on to Christ with the hope of eternal life, Christ holds on to us with the promise of heaven. Not in the sense that we have attained or achieved it, but in the sense that he has attained and achieved it for us, and we freely receive it through faith in him. That's what holding on to Christ is all about. As we hold on to Christ, we let go of ourselves, no longer bragging about what we have done, but considering that all to be rubbish, and finding a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ alone. As we hold on to Christ, we share in his sufferings, knowing that his sufferings are a blessing and benefit for us because it brings us closer to him. And as we share in the sufferings of Christ, we will also share in the blessings that he has won for us. And as we hold on to Christ, we realize that Christ takes hold of us, for he has called us heavenward to him. And there, we will forever hold on to Christ, who will forever hold on to us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.